You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Tanis Helliwell. Tanis is a mystic in the modern world who has brought spiritual consciousness into the mainstream for over 30 years. In January 2000, at the urging of many of her students, she founded the International Institute for Transformation, IIT, which offers courses in spiritual transformation to assist individuals around the world to become conscious co-creators and guardians of our world. Tanis is the author of Pilgrimage with the Leprechauns, Embraced by Love, Summer with the Leprechauns, Manifest Your Soul's Purpose, and Decoding Your Destiny, Keys to Humanity, Spiritual Evolution, and her new book, Hybrids, So You Think You Are Human. My favorite book is Summer with the Leprechauns, a delightful true story of her adventures with the wee folk. Tonight, she returns to talk about her innovative work on the many forms of elemental and human hybrids. You can find out more on her website, www.tanishelliwell.com. So let's welcome her back to the show now. Hi, Tanis. How are you?
Hello, Lance. Lovely to be back.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. You know, I fell in love with your book, Summer with the Leprechauns. I could not put that book down, and I think everybody should read it because it just opens the doors wide to the elemental realms and the divas and the fairies, and it's so imaginative, and I would read it to my kids if I had any. So I love your books.
Aw, thanks. I know that book has been, I think it's a classic now. I think it sold
yes.
over 50,000 copies that
wow.
I know about anyway. So I'm really happy with that. And it's not just that. It's the fact that the book, it reads like fiction, but it's actually fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can enjoy what they would think would be a novel and still get a lot of information from it about how to live and work and play with elementals, which is essential on our Earth today.
Mm, yes, yes. Your new book, Hybrids, So You Think You're Human, is really quite revolutionary because we've all heard of hybrids, and most of us think automatically of alien and human hybrids, which is where your mind wants to go. But you have discovered over the years through your research that there are elemental and human hybrids, and they're different kinds, and you go into the history of this. And so this is really not a work of fiction, but it is groundbreaking, really. I was wondering where your research began and what inspired you to write this book.
What happened is that I'm a psychotherapist by training, and so I always had a counseling practice. And people started to come to me after I had had my experience in the summer with the leprechauns, and they started to have certain patterns in the way they looked, in the problems they had, the kinds of work that they went for, perhaps some addictions that they had. And I started to see patterns. And I started thinking, I think these people are not 100% human. I think that they could be elemental hybrids. And once that idea had dawned on me, and we're talking perhaps 20 years ago, because that's how long ago the actual experience with the leprechauns occurred, even though I didn't write the book for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after the idea had planted itself in my mind, it became more obvious to me that not only were there people who were elemental hybrids, which was the first step, but that there were people who were other non-human hybrids, such as angel hybrids or dragon hybrids or dolphin hybrids. And I didn't go anywhere with this for ages, Lance, because being a Canadian, I am quite conservative on how right. much time I need to spend to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. I don't right. want to just write a book a year and regret it afterwards. And so I sat with it for a good 10 years and started talking about this concept in various workshops that I was doing in Europe or North America. And people about 5 years ago said, you have got to write this book, and we've even got the title for you. And this was actually a group in Germany. And they said, we want you to call the book Hybrids, So You Think You Are Human. Huh. And so for 5 years, it was sort of sitting on my shoulders as something that had to be done. And I had a bad accident about a year ago, and I couldn't travel to do workshops for a year. So I stood up at my kitchen counter, and this book just poured out of me. But it was 20 years of gestation. And I did a lot of research over that time into archaeological and scientific and mythological ideas that would support there being hybrids on the earth, and came up with, at the end, 22 hybrids that I was prepared to stand behind.
Well, that is a master number, so that would make sense.
I hadn't even thought of that, actually.
Yeah, right. What you also mentioned in here, there are some references to Atlantis and Lemuria, and I always find those fascinating because I feel like I have lives there, and possibly in both places. And I was wondering, when you speak about Atlantis and Lemuria, which of the hybrid races were you speaking of, and how does that information come to you?
Lemuria came prior to Atlantis, although there was an overlap. And Lemuria was actually focused around a watery time in our ancient history. And this is the time where humans separated into those that decided to evolve on land and those that decided to go into the water. And when they decided to go into the water, these are the ones that ultimately evolved into our dolphins and our whales, or our mermaids, mermen, I call them, the mer people. Mm. And the these humans, we even know that, I'm not even talking myth at this point, Lance, because it's well known scientifically that if you ever see a skeleton of a dolphin, for example, it's got all the finger bones and the toe bones, the leg bones, the arm bones that you would find in a human. So we know we do have an ancestor in common, and they are air-breathing. And the way that we judge intelligence, humans judge intelligence, is based on brain size per body weight. And given our own way of judging intelligence, the dolphin is even more intelligent than the human being because it has a more complex brain structure and it has a greater ratio of brain size to body weight. So that is... And dolphins are individualized, just like humans are, we're individualized. And dolphins and whales have always been called people of the sea by the ancient Greeks and other cultures. It's been well known that they are related to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So this all happened in Lemuria, and whales have, although we have a similar ancestor, they have a bit of a different evolution from dolphins. Whereas dolphins are individualized, whales decided to evolve as a collective and more like a group soul. And this is why when one whale will beach itself, often more whales will then beach themselves as two. And so whales as hybrids, or whales that are human hybrids coming from whale evolution, are very in tune to the deep unconscious and in deep feelings. They're quite different in their personality to a dolphin, for example, whose dolphin hybrid is much more sensual, sexual, playful, and whales are more serious. They're interested in the earth and the evolution of the earth and bringing these unconscious feelings up to the surface.
Hmm. Now, some have implied that at the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, that many of the codes that were given, that they wanted to keep alive, were transferred into the whales and the dolphins.
Well, that is a very good point. I've never heard that stated before. However, I do think of the whales as being record keepers.
Hmm. Right, right.
I definitely think of that. And it's possible that the whales and the dolphins, for example, when Lemuria ended, they continued their evolution, and there were other races that were coming to the earth at that time and were building land-based civilizations.
Well, one of the interesting things in your book, too, is that you mentioned that the Pleiadians have been involved with the evolutions of the green race, dolphins and whales.
Yes, yes, they have. And in ancient Sumeria, they had this god Oenis, and the god Oenis brought civilization to Sumeria and to that whole area of the Mediterranean. And the pictures of Oenis was that he was half fish. The lower half of him was fish, like with a fish tail, and the upper half of him was like with a human face and with arms. And that's how they always portrayed Oenis, who was their god of civilization. And he would have been a member of what I call the green race, so that we don't have just a black race on the planet, black, yellow, white, and red. We actually do have a green race, and although it looks like it has gone extinct as far as land-based civilizations go, these are the Nair people that we have myths around the world about mermaids and mermen, and this is that particular race. And some of us carry that in the essence of our blood anyway, and it's possible to be a human living on the earth, on the earth, and be white or black, but still have some of this blood from the green race. People who have this, and I talk about Anwar Sadat as being descended from that green race and the Bedouin, but they seldom look their age, and they often are quite serious, quite dedicated to creating better civilizations on the planet, and more likely peaceful people, given their druthers. But if they feel that there's injustice or unfairness, they will fight for what they think is right. And they usually die of heart conditions. There was only one other person that I've ever heard speak of the green race, and it was Dahani Oahu, who is a Cherokee medicine woman, and she spoke about it as well. I was gratified to hear.
Well, now, in as the book goes along, I found it interesting that there are three major categories of hybrids, and you have elementals, human cousins, and star beings, which I think most people are quite interested in. And then under those categories, you have various different beings and entities. And I think it's really fascinating that the leprechauns and brownies and pixies, goblins, trolls, forest elves, royal elves, and tree divas would be part of the elemental kingdom. And the star beings would include the angels, the elves, Horuses, Pans, dragons, bees, Anunnakis, centaurs, and possibly others who entered as hybrids. So those are interesting categories, and especially the star beings. And you have an interesting version, which is not too different from other versions of the Anunnaki visitors, and I'd be very interested in hearing a little bit more about that, because there's a lot of discussion about that today.
Yes, that name, the Anunnaki, it's one of the names that Zachariah Sitchin, in his book, The 12th Planet, made quite popular. And there's a lot of controversy about his book and his findings, and were they accurate. And I don't agree with everything that he says about there being another planet, and that it comes into our solar system, and that the Earth was, had prisoners from that planet. But that part I do agree with.
That there
was in Africa a settlement of what I call laggards, who were prisoners from another race that got settled over here on the Earth, supposed to be contained so that they didn't contaminate the evolving humans and other beings on the Earth, but that they escaped and that they did infiltrate and that they do have certain unique qualities. I think that these Anunnaki are the latest star beings that have come to the Earth, and that the other races that I talk about, the angels and the centaurs and the dragons and Pan beings, for example, that these beings had already come to a high level of civilization in their own galaxies and constellations and planets, and that they came to the Earth as really full creators with the divine plan to help seed the Earth and help the Earth to evolve in consciousness, but that the Anunnaki, or the laggards, had quite a different motivation. And so being the latest folks who arrived here, they may be technologically more advanced than more humans, but they were not emotionally or spiritually advanced. So when we find those people becoming hybrids, first of all, I'd like to stress that that any hybrid, any person from one of these different evolutions that we're talking about, Lance, can fall. None of us are perfect. Given all the temptations of this third-dimensional reality, all of us are capable of becoming the worst and not the best of what we're capable of. And this is the case also with the Anunnaki, that they might have started in a fallen state, being prisoners, but they, like all of us, are capable of redeeming themselves and deciding to work with spirit to create a better earth, and to preclude that they can do that, we have to also preclude the possibility that each of us can do it, no matter what our evolution is.
Mm-hmm.
But like one of the characteristics of what I would call unredeemed Anunnaki would be that their gifts are, as I said, being technologically advanced, and they're very drawn to things like genetic engineering and technologies that are very future-looking, and they're great strategists, and they can usually think most humans. They can be five steps ahead of them, and because they're so intellectually brilliant, although they may not be morally brilliant, they will find ways to create technologies and control the media and science for things that will serve their purpose, i.e. give them more money and power and control, which is the ego-driven need of an unreformed Anunnaki. But a reformed one, you might find them in similar industries, maybe science or medicine, but that they will be trying to bring new technologies that would be in divine harmony. But I'm very concerned about things like Monsanto and DuPont, because these are some of the problems that we've landed up with as a collective on the earth, which can be driven by these kind of people.
What bothers you most about those what they're doing?
Well, what bothers me most, I think, is that I think that we all have to be respectful of each other's gifts and patient with each other's differences. And the Anunnaki, I believe, have some wonderful gifts that can actually help the earth if motivated not by self-service, but by actual helping the earth, such as space technologies, for example, and astronomy and all sorts of things like this. They could be quite in the future from most of us. But ego, I think our earth has been sabotaged by people who are quite brilliant intellectually, but morally and spiritually deficient, taking the masses who do not assert their will, which is unfortunate as well, into places that it would be better not to go, which have led to the environmental and human disasters that we see. For example, we now are capable of cloning an entire sheep. I think that we did that years ago and called it Lucy. And I'm sure that there are people who've been busy cloning real humans as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. They're keeping it secret, but I'm sure that they're doing it. Now, these kinds of things, when we know how to do something, But we only know how to do it on the short term, and we have no idea what the implications of this will be in our civilization. That is dangerous.
Right. Well, you know, the military has recently come out and spoken openly about cloning soldiers for battle, that they will be removing the emotions from the soldiers so that they will be unemotional about what they're doing, and they're also breeding various other qualities into it, such as anger and rage and so on. So they're well on the way, and of course, combining the human with nanotechnology and robotics, it wouldn't be hard to conceive that within a very short period of time, they could be having a partial human hybrids that were, you know, commingled with electronics, and that could be quite an interesting development for the rest of us.
Yes, like cyborgs.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yes. You see, knowing how to technically do these things doesn't make it right, and these are the ethical questions that seem to not be concerns of unrepentant Anunnakis.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have wars and we have worldwide famines, and I think that we're at a turning point in our civilization, and that's why I wrote the book right now, where we are making strides, positive strides, too. In your lifetime and mine, Lance, I remember when I first started doing past life regressions in the late 70s, and nobody was doing past life regressions then, not even Shirley MacLaine.
Wow.
And I felt wonderful that I was able to bring that in at a very early time in our world, and that a lot of people who are on a spiritual path actually believe in past lives now. And then the whole idea of UFOs and crop circles, this has become commonplace, and even if you're a mainstream person, you know what's being talked about. So that's entering our consciousness. And Time magazine years ago asked how many people believe in angels, and the greatest population of people asked, and we're talking about a few thousand people, said yes, they believed in angels, and it didn't matter if they were religious or not religious, but they had some belief of it, and life after death has now become quite commonplace. So in about three decades, we have made massive progress into possibilities of other realities which are not the third dimensional reality of I can see it, I can hear it, I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that this bringing in hybrids now, and because I brought in the idea of elementals, 15, 16 years ago, and that's now commonplace, and talking about elementals. And now bringing this in about hybrids takes us one step deeper into looking at where have we come from, that perennial question.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we really?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what are our gifts and where are we supposed to go? And so I'm very, very hopeful that people will have an open mind about all of this, because if people are on a path where they're open-minded, they're questioning, and they're searching for information, and all this information is available, they're going to start to assert their own will, their free will, to make ethical and moral choices. This is why I'm optimistic. And as soon as they start questioning and looking at all of this, I think that they will not be a pushover, a passive pushover, to be led down a garden path in what I would consider by people who are powerful, but they're not intentioned. And otherwise, I believe that the greatest portion of people on the earth are waking up and becoming more conscious and starting to question the motivations that have created the problems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Do I sound too optimistic to you?
Well, it just depends on what position you're looking from. But it does appear that the control systems are pretty pervasive, and you know, it would require people waking up and becoming more conscious to what's going on in order for that to stop. For instance, one of the ongoing programs is chemtrails. And, you know, you mentioned Monsanto, where they're GMO foods, and that is a prescription for deformities and death for humans and animals. And there are many other things that are currently running, and that includes, you know, cell phone towers and HARP and smart meters and just a plethora of things that are affecting us that are inorganic. So,
yes.
And we're organic, so there's a lot
yes.
of stuff going on that needs to be either addressed or we're going to be marching down a path that is closer to enslavement, and then those who are awake may be going in another direction. I don't know.
Yes, this. I mean, it's a very good point that you're making, and I'm not unaware of this. And what my concern always is that each of us has to look at what can we do in our own sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing is to become conscious of it, which is what you're doing by your radio program. And what I'm doing by writing books and doing courses,
right,
and
right.
whatever, so that if we bring consciousness into people and look at how many people are reading or seeing programs on TV or even movies about these kinds of things we're talking about, like Avatar is about hybrids, really.
Yeah, it's a wonderful movie.
It's a great movie.
Yes, and I love Avatar.
Yes, me too. And so... as people become more conscious, they will not be passive anymore and just say, well, there's nothing I can do, because they will start also gaining the tools and the belief that each of us needs to act on something.
Right.
So I think that's very important, and each of us is capable of standing up. I remember Gandhi said, he said, I am an ordinary person with less than an average mentality. And I firmly believe that what I have done, each of you can do if you only believe it.
Right, right. Very beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. And I believe that this is what we're coming to, is the deciding to make choices. Think of all the refugees, the hundreds of thousands of refugees moving across Europe right now. And people and countries having to make decisions about, do we go the path of fear and erect gates because we're afraid to let anybody in for fear they take our jobs or they get money and we don't, and, you know, it's a scarcity thought, or do we move into our heart and realize these people are homeless, everything has been taken away from them, and they need to be embraced and welcomed? And we are seeing this going on right in Europe now and in Canada as well, I'm sure in the States. We're almost having an election in Canada, a national election, and one of the issues is along with the environment and the economy, is what are the policies of each political party around the refugee crisis? So I think that these, we either lead a life of fear or we lead a life of love. And that fear has gotten us into the problems that we are in. And love will get us out.
Right, right. Yes,
but
I
courage.
Totally
I don't
you.
Mean passive love, Lance. You
right.
know, I mean courageous love.
Give an example of that, would you?
Well, courageous love is what I said about Gandhi, or courageous
right.
love was what Mother Teresa did when she went against what her superiors wanted her to do, and she just walked the streets of Calcutta and started bringing people back.
Right, right.
It's courageous
love is
each of us is capable of courageous love. It's moment to moment to be with our authentic selves and speak the truth as best we know it. Because I believe the truth evolves, that if we look in each of our lives, we'll see that what we thought was true when we were 20 may not be what we think is true when we're 40 or 50.
Right.
So truth evolves, and it evolves as we grow in consciousness. And so all we can do is stick with the truth of where we are now. And if we feel into our hearts, I'm writing one book called Uncage Your Heart. And if we feel into our hearts, I believe that in our heart, all of us have this conscience, this still little voice that says what is right. And that is what each of us needs to nurture and fan the little fire. And I believe that will give us the courage to act within our sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. It could be something like the Raging Grannies. It could be something like First Nations peoples marching on Washington. It can be people taking up petitions for things that they think are not good. It can be whatever we feel called to do within our sphere of influence. But I think where we end up powerless is if we complain about things that are outside of our sphere of influence and do nothing.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
We just give away our power if we're sitting around in pubs talking about politics.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So I think each of us will have some feeling about what we could do. And to follow that.
I'm going to ask you a question that's really not completely out of the arena of the questions that we've been talking about, but since the Pope has been making his visit here in the United States and meeting with President Obama, how are you viewing all of these activities? Does it seem that the divine plan is on track and that the world is kind of going in that direction, or do you feel like things are not quite right?
What do you mean exactly about what the Pope is saying or doing, or Obama, that, you know, you're asking about.
Well, do you feel that this is, what do you think that the purpose is?
Of what?
Of the meeting, of the Pope coming here to meet with Obama and address Congress and all of that.
Well, they're both heads of state. They're both political leaders. St. Peter's is actually a state. It's its own country. It has its own laws. It doesn't fall under the Italian laws. And so he is a head of state, the Pope is, as well as being the head of the Catholic Church. So I think that, I mean, I'm not an expert on this Pope, actually. So I don't feel qualified to comment about him personally, because I haven't given him personally much thought.
Okay.
But I do think that what each of us needs to do, whether is to question, deeply question, all leaders.
Right, right.
Whether they're religious leaders, and question what are their motivations, as you're doing, or political leaders, or leaders in organizations that we work in, to try to feel, you know, are they ethical, or what are their policies that they are talking about going back to a former time, or are they going to lead us towards a positive future?
Right, absolutely right. Well, now to return to some of the ideas in your books, your recent book, one of the categories was giants, and I thought that was interesting because there are lots of mythologies about giants. There was Jason and the Argonaut, or the anyway, you probably are more informed about the mythology on the giants. Who were they, and how do they play into the hybrid race?
Prior to the Atlanteans came the Lemurians, and prior to the Lemurians came a group called the Hyperboreans. And they're talked about by the Celts, for example, and the ancient Greeks, the Greeks of the Olympus, which were Zeus and Athena. They talk about the race that they conquered as well. And this is that race, the race of the gods that came prior to the Atlanteans and the Lemurians. And when the Atlanteans took over, they took over because it's another age, more qualities are needed, and the other races or the other ways of doing it had to change or die out, and so this is natural. Well, what happened was there were some of those Hyperboreans went into the center of the Earth, and so people say, well, is there really beings that live? Are there really beings that live inside the center of the Earth? And that I talk about them. Yes, there are the inner Earth beings. But some decided to stay on top of the Earth and to evolve on the top of the Earth. And those became the giants and the Sasquatch or Yeti or Bigfoot that we know today. And the Sasquatch and Yeti and Bigfoot, we have those stories all over the world. And sometimes now we are getting audio recordings or videos of sightings of these kinds of beings. And those beings became more animalistic. They deteriorated, if you like. But the giants were part of that race, and they were larger, and they still stayed on the Earth, and they became their separate race. And they've interbred with humans, and there are many stories about, well, in the Bible, they talk about the giant Goliath, for example. Or in Ireland, they had a very famous giantess who went to meet Queen Elizabeth, the first Queen Elizabeth, and she was over 7 feet tall. And in the Antrim in Northern Ireland, they're famous for having had giants and even finding skulls which were double the size of ordinary human skulls. Mm-hmm. So we can find evidence archaeologically and even in our own historical time of giants. So there are, what I write about in hybrids is not just how to identify yourself if you are one of these hybrids, but I do give lots of clues for people to identify themselves, but also, as well as the gifts, what are the weaknesses of each of the hybrids? And if you are one, how do you overcome your weakness? And one of the weaknesses of hybrids that are giants is that they are very super sensitive to criticism.
Oh. Well, then I must be a giant.
Well, not necessarily. That's not the only characteristic.
Okay.
But they often feel that they are not seen or recognized or acknowledged as much as they should be, that they are, their opinions should be worth more than sometimes would give them credit for. But sometimes with people who are giants, their great gift is maybe not verbal, so it might be a little harder for them occasionally to express themselves.
Well, you know, we had talked before the show of the possibility of doing meditation, and things go their own way, and it looks like we're not going to have time to do that, because we're just about down to the last 6 or 7 minutes. But I thought I'd open up the possibility of having you share what is the most important concept or idea that you'd like to convey to everybody that would be inspirational, and share that with everybody so that we can kind of end on a high note.
Okay. I think what I'd like to share with people that we're multifaceted, and that we have to love all the facets of ourselves. So whether we are looking at our past lives or whether we're looking at the family patterns with our mother and father and our own personal history, or whether we're looking at, hey, am I a star being? And when did I come to the earth and which kind would I be? And what are my gifts? Just to appreciate all of it, and not try to box ourselves in or shrink ourselves into a small package, but to allow ourselves to expand into many dimensions of possibilities. I don't mind so much if people are actually convinced that they're hybrids based on my book, although I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from people about it. And as you know, in the book, Lance, I have personal stories from people from each of the hybrid types. But I'm not trying to convince somebody of something that I've discovered is important. I would much rather that people actually went on their own journey to find out who they are, no matter where it takes them. Mm-hmm. And then to stand tall in that and live it, be authentic, you know, we're at a time, we've talked about fears, we're either at a time of where we're living in fear or in love. And I believe we are in a choosing time, a turning time. And the chaos that is emerging around the world is birth pangs, not just of the ending of a cycle, but birth pangs of new things that are being born. So, as I said, I am optimistic, and we live in many dimensions. We know that scientifically that 99.9% of everything in us and everything is ether. So what we are seeing is only a very small little portion of things, and we need to trust spirit that we are held in good hands and just follow the little breadcrumbs and
that's
see where
beautiful.
It
is. Well, that's beautifully said, Tanith, and I'm so glad that you came on to the show, came back to the show to share your thoughts, because you know, you're just such a wonderful inspiration to everybody. And I really love this new book. And, of course, you're on Facebook. And the thought occurred to me, I don't want to increase your workload, but, you know, people may want to start a group around this book to discuss their own findings. So you might find that, you know, people will be inspired to open a group that is based on your book. I don't know.
That's a great idea.
Isn't
I know
it?
I've done many workshops on it, and I think I've got a new DVD that's going to be coming out on it in a couple of months. So
I
think it's a great idea what you're suggesting. I'm even doing a workshop for psychiatrists in Switzerland.
Oh, nice.
On hybrids and healing. Yes, I know. I think that this is some piece of the puzzle, or I wouldn't have written it.
Oh, I'm certain of it. When I felt into it, it just felt right. And I thought, wow, it is time that this information comes out. And I was just amazed that this was a whole new area of the pieces of the puzzle that many people will find relate to. So... well, we are just about out of time, and I wanted to make sure to thank you for coming back and mention your website one more time so that people can find you. And you've got articles and books and things there. And I definitely recommend the Leprechaun book.
Oh, thank you. I even made a special website just for my leprechaun friend Lloyd this last year. So
oh, yes,
got his own site
thank
now.
Lloyd.
it's called Leprechaun Site.
Okay. Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Lance. And so I'm sure, you know, people can get hybrid so you think you're human in on Amazon or on my website, and it's just tell them what it is. It's www.tanithhelliwell.com.
Wonderful. And I'll stay in touch with you on Facebook and, you know, let my, you know, post news about what's going on in my news feed. So
thank you,
we'll
post this interview as well on in our newsletter. So thank
Wonderful.
You so much for having me. You're doing great work.
Oh,
and I'm
well,
not going
lot,
to
Tana.
Ask you to share with me what hybrid you might be, and I won't share what hybrid I am. We're
oh,
just
wonderful.
Letting people try to guess.
Okay, that sounds like fun. All right, thanks again, Tanith, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thanks, lads.
All right, good night.